from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon. And we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. And then we'll take you up to 4 o'clock right here on Sacramento's Sports Leader. Phone lines are open. 916-909-1320. That is 916-909-1320. That is the Farmer's Dog Talk line. A healthy life starts with healthy food. If you're unfamiliar with how we do calls on this show, we don't have a call screener. It's just me and James. So when you call, it'll either ring until I can pick it up, or I will pick it up and then you will be put on air. There won't be a screener. And if it just rings and rings and rings, hang in there. We'll do our best to get to you.
All right.
Hell yeah. Sammy Ball went to TCU. We got sidetracked by the chatty house in our break.
Okay.
And if you're unfamiliar, at youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320, we live stream the show there. And we hang out through the breaks. There's no commercials. It's just us chit-chatting. And somewhere along the, I forget how we got to TCU. Oh, you were talking about...
Kurt Thomas.
That's right.
All right. Yeah.
And we just started looking
Sammy Baugh went to?
Sammy Baugh, yeah. TCU,
really?
According to...
The great Sammy Baugh.
Football Reference.
Was he Redskins?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. For the 6th overall pick in the 1937 draft, Bob Lilly, great defensive lineman for the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
In 1961. Ross Blacklock, of course, defensive lineman, plays for the I think he's still with the Texans. Anyways, I'm done with that.
Okay.
Quincy Carter. No, never mind. Not Quincy Carter.
Okay.
Talking about NBA officiating the NBA playoffs. I want to switch gears briefly because we're talking about the way the Kings may need to change their team building strategy this offseason if the NBA is going to have officials swallow the whistle they did in the second half of this year and as they have in the playoffs, like they do every year in the playoffs. Like everybody goes, playoff basketball is just different. And it's the difference is, yeah, they don't call as many fouls. But they just started that after the All-Star break this year because Adam Silver was fed up with how many points are being scored.
Mm-hmm.
So, or not how many points are being scored, but just the lack of defense, the ease of buckets, I think was his larger problem. But I want to shift gears on the team building front a little bit because we've been talking a lot about how the Kings could benefit from the new CBA and the luxury tax rules that now basically penalize teams for being in the first apron or the second apron. There's these new, I'm trying to keep this concise without talking myself into circles. It's really, really tough to keep a very, very expensive team together, a la the Golden State Warriors.
Yes.
Where you can't have a team owner who just goes, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to pay the luxury tax. I'm going to get as many good players as I can. I'm going to pay the luxury tax, and we're going to win a championship, and we're going to make it up on the back end with ticket revenue and all that. You can't do that anymore.
No.
And so it's going to change the way I think teams in general are put together. And I heard Logan Murdoch and Raja Bell and Howard Beck talking about this on their podcast, Real Ones.
Profanity-laced podcast.
NSFW podcast, for sure. They call it MF and Mondays, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Just for NSFW podcast, but very, very good. I enjoy those guys a lot. Shout out to Logan Murdoch, friend of the show. They mentioned how with the new CBA and the new rules, max contracts may be doled out a lot less often. And I think that's fascinating because I've always wondered when it comes to team building, I think that's a spot that teams get into a lot where I think in the NBA, in the NFL, less so in Major League Baseball because there's no salary cap per se, but you have a player that if you don't pay him at either the top of market or with a max contract, they're going to leave. And they are a very good player. But maybe you look at them and you go, hey, I don't know if this is a max guy. I don't know if this is a top of market guy. But if he walks, you have a tough time explaining that to a fan base. And maybe you have a tough time replacing that player. So you pay Dak Prescott at the time top of market money. You give a max contract to Zach LaVine. Mm. Or this offseason, the Clippers are probably going to give a max contract to Paul George. Because they want to keep these guys around. But at the same time, by doing that, they greatly diminish their chances of winning a title. And I'm so interested to see how this plays out over the next 5 or 6 years in the NBA. And if there are guys like a Zach LaVine, I'm picking that caliber of player. Very good player who's probably not a 1A on a title team.
Okay.
Where players look at a guy like Zach LaVine and go, yeah, hey, you're not getting a max here. We'll give you 30 a year, but you're not getting 50 or 60.
That's, to me, Kyle, I don't know why it hasn't happened before.
Because, I don't either.
Because we've been watching, you know, like Tobias Harris be overpaid for the last 4 years.
Great one.
Like,
yes.
I don't understand why that happened. And well, I guess you do because that's what they had to get to pay to get him.
You can't, right. You couldn't let him walk because you can't necessarily replace him. But now you're tying your own hands by paying him.
Yeah. And so I think that there should be a happy medium. I off air, I told you a story about a player who I had written about. Who, you know, I said, well, you know, he's probably looking at max money, but if he wanted to take a little bit less money to help build the team, then you could understand that as well. And I got a phone call from his agent who was angry. And I'm like, oh, okay. Wow. That's what you're going to call me about. You wouldn't call me when I knew that you were signing an extension and you wouldn't confirm it. But you'll call me because you didn't like the way that I phrased something in a piece. Okay. But hey, that's fine. It's an ego thing with the players. They want to be called a max contract guy.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, I think maybe what we need to have is like a max bubble, right? So there's a max contract that's between $35 and $42 million for a player. And just say, oh, are you gonna be a max guy? Yeah, I'm in the max. So then that way they don't, you know, but the problem is that we all, like, we don't do pocket watching on this show, but, you know, like, all of their contracts are out there. You can see exactly what they make. And so players, they know what other guys make. They can look around the league and say, hey, I think I'm worth, you know, player X money. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay. But I do think it's like fundamentally flawed. Mm-hmm. Like, the Kings are going to have to re-up De'Aaron Fox at max money. And there's no way around it. He's going to be a max money player.
Yes.
And the fact that there's going to be a point where you have to pay him $70 or even $80 million in a season, that to me is bonkers. And I get it. Players deserve to make as much as they make.
Yes.
But at the same time, like, how do you build a team when you have 1, 2, 3 of these types of players? Mm-hmm. You know, in order to win, you need 3 of those guys. Okay. And three players.
And that's where, A, I wonder at some point with the aprons and stuff, if they do wind up altering the rules or the language a little bit where it doesn't count or it counts X percentage if it's a player like you drafted.
Yeah.
And brought in and have developed. Because like we talked about with Golden State, it's like, yeah, you drafted Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Draymond Green. You shouldn't be punished for that down the road. But I do think the product of this is going to be max contracts are only given out to players like MVP caliber guys.
Yeah.
And like you said, teams go, yeah, hey, we're not giving you 80. We'll give you 45. We'll put you there. We'll make sure that you are well taken care of. But man, like, you're not at this level.
I also, you bring up something that I think could be a nuance to the salary cap that needs to be examined.
Mm-hmm.
If I would say if it's your own player and it's in the third year, the third contract, a player you drafted and you have developed, and it's in his third contract, I think the NBA should look at the salary different, like as far as for tax purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see a way in which, like, to be fair to teams that have built their teams the right way, where you get to a certain point where, hey, if you're entering your third contract and you're paying a guy 60 million bucks, he only counts towards the luxury tax for 20.
Right.
Now, he's going to count against the salary cap,
right,
for all of it, but the luxury tax specifically, we're going to give you a break on the backside because you did the right thing,
mm-hmm.
and we want our players to stay where they belong. We want our players to be, you know, lineage players and all that stuff. But if you trade him, then his salary counts fully for anyone else who has him,
right?
Or if he goes and signs somewhere else, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But for salary cap, for luxury tax purposes, like, we should want teams like the Warriors to stay together.
Oklahoma City, let's use a current example.
Yes.
You look at Oklahoma City and you go, wow, in 5 years, 6 years, there's no way that team's together because of the constraints of Oklahoma City and their market and all that. Now, if they had a tax structure, a salary structure like you just laid out, and maybe it makes it easier for them.
Yeah.
So
no, I get it. And I mean, the Kings are going to be faced with the same thing. If they try to go out and get a big name player right now to add to this thing, and then they've got to pay Keegan Murray, and you're paying Fox and Keegan Murray and Sabonis and this other player X, and they're all making this gigantic, you're going to be way over the luxury tax.
Yeah.
And that's whether you sign Malik Monk or not, you're still going to hit it.
Yeah.
And so at some point, like, if it's your players and if it's a third contract, that's where I would say, hey, like, look, third, fourth contracts. If we want teams, if we want players to stay where they're supposed to be, where you know, they can finish their career in one spot, that's how you could fix it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm right there with you, man. So I'm fascinated to see how team building changes in the NBA over the next couple of years. All right, we've got good idea or bad idea coming up next. Three headlines, three things going on in the sports world, and whether those things are good ideas or bad ideas. We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's Sports.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Caller, thanks for hanging out. We will get to you in a second. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. What's funny?
I just found a player name that's just ridiculous. So,
oh, lay it on us.
No.
Pause.
Because it would be a pause name.
Right.
This is a guy who went to Morehead State.
Stop.
Dave Haverdick.
No chance.
Yes.
No chance.
Yes. A defensive tackle from 1970 for the Detroit Lions.
Incredible. Phew. All right. Before we get to, we got a caller here. Before we get to good idea or bad idea, caller, you're on. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Man, it's your boy TC Hammer. Kyle, what's up?
TC, what's up, bro? What do you got for us?
Hey, now let's check it out, Ham. Hey, Kyle. Hey, it's like this. If with the I'm gonna keep it simple. With the 13th pick, in my opinion, bro, if we're not swinging right for like BI, obviously Paul George is opting out, and I mean, in my opinion, I think that might be the move. I mean, if Monty go after Paul and go after BA, the big names. But if we stay pat at 13, bro, I'm ready to take the kid out of Tennessee, Dalton, the wing that can shoot lights out, and he's a dog on defense. We need wing help. I know everybody's like, nah, we're not win now. Well, isn't bro? He's like 24. He's an older player. He can come in and win now. Plus, we need wing depth help. So that dude to help us out. Other than Kobe Jones and Slauson, bro, we really don't have no youth. That dude to fit in nice, bro, with what we have going on and add other pieces with that. I'm just saying, if we stay pat at 13, I'm picking him, bro, in my opinion.
Perfect. Thanks, TC. Appreciate you. Yeah, Dalton Connect feels like a very Kingsy pick if they stay at number 13.
Yeah, if they stay at 13. I mean, he's 23 right now. He'll be 23 at the time of draft. 6'6", 213. He can shoot it 39.7% from three, 21.7 points per game. Decent rebounder. I don't know. Maybe. You know,
but
again,
it's like, but what are you expecting from a rookie in year one who's not a top five pick?
Well, I think that Dalton Connect maybe can step on the court in year one and play 12 to 15 minutes.
Right, exactly.
Maybe.
Exactly.
Maybe.
We talk about this all the time. There's two types of players that we're looking at for the Kings. Yeah, hey, this guy can help their bench depth.
Yep.
And, hey, this guy is going to help them get to that next level.
Yeah, so that's a tough thing because I know who the Kings like to draft. Mm-hmm. They like to draft Dalton Connect. That's the type.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for mature players who can step in because it's a quality that I respect. They like to know what they know about mm-hmm. a player. They don't like to like pontificate
right.
on who someone could become. Mm-hmm. And so like for me, would I draft Ron Holland, who's less than 19 years old on draft night, who averaged, you know, a bunch of points for the G League Ignite, who's a small forward, power forward, but really raw mm-hmm. and has all kinds of problems as far as like, you know, he shoots 24% from three. But yeah, that's who I would take. I would take Ron Holland and see if I can develop into something great. But I also respect drafting a player and thinking he can be a rotational player.
Sure.
And whether you love Davion Mitchell or not, you know, at the number 9 pick, they found a guy who's been in the rotation for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, with a team that's growing and has made the playoffs once and postseason once,
yeah.
you know, he is a player that, so I get it.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll talk a ton about the draft coming up through this month and into June, of course. Plenty of Sacramento Kings draft talk right here on ESPN 1320. Let's get to good idea or bad idea, though. Three headlines, three things going on in the world of sports, and we say whether it's a good idea or bad idea. We're going to start in Denver, where Jamal Murray started throwing things onto the court last night because his team was getting punched repeatedly in the mouth, and he was frustrated. Is this a good or bad idea on Jamal Murray's part, James?
I think it's a bad idea. There are two situations that I've been in the arena for. Number one, I've talked about Austin Rivers throwing the seat right. cushion, almost killed me and Sam Amick with the seat mm-hmm. cushion. We ducked. The guy behind us in the front row ducked, and it hit a lady right in the face.
Brutal.
Knocked her contacts lenses out. She was an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Cornea, scratched her corneas. Yeah, jeez. It was not a good idea, right? Mm-hmm. The second was, I think it was Yusuf Nurkic chucked his mouthpiece into the stands, which became this like really weird moment because somebody sees it, finds it, grabs it, holds it up in the air like victorious. I found the mouthpiece.
I'm not touching it, Doctor.
I'm not touching it either. Yeah, nope. That's his mouthpiece. So
that was in his mouth.
Like, you don't throw things into the stands and you don't throw things onto the court because that could have ended very, very poorly. Someone could have stepped on it, slipped, fallen, and then where are we at?
He didn't do it at a timeout.
No, it was in the middle of the court. All
while stuff was good, while things were happening.
That was crazy.
Ridiculous, dude. Just, I would be shocked. I don't want to say shocked because he's a star and the Nuggets are going into a game 3 where they need him. I would be surprised, a little surprised, if he didn't get suspended.
$50,000 fine at a minimum, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was like,
they're probably not going to suspend him, though, but
unacceptable. Yeah, they suspended Draymond Green in the middle of the playoff series.
Jamal Murray's a lot more important than Draymond Green. Number two, Rudy Gobert missed game 2 last night for the birth of his first son. Good idea or bad idea?
Oh, it's a good idea.
It's a great idea. It's the best idea.
It is, because that's a, like, your basketball career lasts a certain amount of time. And,
yes.
And your team picked you up.
Yes.
But also, that's a one-time, a first-time event, and it's an amazing event, and you should be there for it.
It's the only job where people question if you should take the day off for this. There are people who are like, no, you got to play. That's insane.
You know.
Can you imagine your boss being like, no, hey, you can't be there for the birth of your child. You have a meeting. Like, no, John can pick it up for me. That's exactly what happened. Yeah, no, that's why you have Naz Reid. That's exactly why you have other good players.
Yep.
And so if Rudy Gobert has to be absent for some reason, particularly the birth of his child, he gets to go.
Yeah, and I also, I think...
Because it's life.
That the team did him a solid by winning game one.
Yes.
And they took the pressure off, because I could have seen him being like, okay, I probably need to go to the birth and then race to the arena. Mm-hmm. But because they had already, you know, the season had already started, the series had already started.
Sure had. Great point.
You know, you had to get there. And I will also tell you, I'll remind you, May 8th, 2003, the birth of my first son.
Right.
Which is, we're one day away from my oldest turning 21.
21 years old.
You know what happened on that day? Chris Webber took a bad step against the Dallas Mavericks and blew out his knee in the playoffs. While I was sitting in a hospital room holding my son, he blew out his knee, and the Kings dynasty, attempted dynasty, was basically over right then. The day my son was born, I was watching on a 13-inch television in the corner of a room. Dude. In a very uncomfortable chair.
Brutal.
Yeah.
So bad. Yeah. Shout out to Rudy Gobert. Very happy for the Gobert family. Number three, Reggie Miller is on the call for Knicks Pacers at Madison Square Garden on Wednesday night. Reggie Miller, one of the all-time great villains in New York Knicks history, for his 6 points or 8 points in 13 seconds.
9 points.
Nine points in seven seconds.
Is that what it is? There's a website named after this.
Anyways, he's already talking trash to Knicks fans. It's like, the boogeyman is coming. Good idea or bad idea by Reggie Miller?
I love this. 9 points, 8 seconds. That's what...
9 and 8. That's it.
9 and 8.
It adds up to 17.
I'm here for it. I don't know. Like, I love
it. This is all entertainment, right?
It is. I want him and Spike Lee yelling at each other.
1,000% mid-game.
Mid-game.
Just cut off Kevin Harlan and let Reggie Miller and Spike Lee talk trash. I'm in there.
I want Ben Stiller officiating it. And like, sure. Let's go.
Sure. Chris Rock can be there too.
Yeah, he can be there.
I mean, I want Reggie Miller to lean into this. And I was a little bit concerned because it was Brian Anderson and Stan Van Gundy last night. And on the call for TNT. I'm like, man, are they really going to not let Reggie freaking Miller call Pacers Knicks? Like, what are they thinking? Well, he's on game two.
Mm.
And I can't wait, dude. I hope he leans in as hard as humanly possible. I typically don't love when an announcer is a homer during a game, but if Reggie Miller wants to openly root for the Pacers, I'm in. I love this angle of this series where there's that historical matchup. It's like the eighth time they've met up in the playoffs, these two teams, in the six, they did it six times just in the 90s. I mean, I love this. I love that they're putting Reggie Miller on the broadcast. I love that he's already chirping, and I hope fans chirp back. This is a great idea by Reggie Miller. Really, really great job of understanding the moment.
Yeah.
And understanding his place in this moment, because it's all anybody talked about last night. Reggie Miller's name came up 50 times last night.
That's right.
He's already involved. Now he gets to be there. I can't wait.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
So excited.
8 points in 9 seconds.
Eight in nine. I'll never forget it now. All right. More NBA playoff action tonight. The Cavs and Celtics, Mavs and OKC. They open their series. We will take a look at those series, especially knowing what we know now. With the Timberwolves being all over the Nuggets, does that mean we have to change the way we're viewing these other series? We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320+. Plus, D'Lo will be in here for the handoff. D'Lo of D'Lo and KC with D'Lo and KC coming up at noon. But more insiders first, sponsored by Jiffy Lube.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, put everything on hold. We'll talk about the NBA playoffs in a second. We'll have the handoff with Damian Barling coming up in about 15 minutes. And want to remind everybody that tonight, Dallas and Oklahoma City, we'll talk about that game here in a bit, but we're also going to be broadcasting that game right here on ESPN 1320. 6 o'clock coverage begins game one between the Mavericks and the Thunder. Okay, we'll talk about all that in a second. You said something during the break, and people who aren't in the chatty house and aren't watching on YouTube and Twitch, we will let you in on what James just said. James has a million tabs open, which is fine. A lot of people work like that, and I understand. I get it. I don't have any beef with people who work with a bunch of tabs open on their computer. Can you read the number of unread emails you have again, please?
I have 30 tabs open right now.
That's not that bad. That's not like that's a lot, but
oh, it's gone up. I have 70,967 unread emails. Multiple inboxes, multiple emails, like all tied up together. But yeah, that many. I have like an old email that
71,000 unread emails, bro.
Yeah, I'm 33 away from 71,000. Yeah.
What? Why delete them?
Well, yeah, but then that takes me time to go and delete them.
Yeah.
I don't read every single email that comes through.
Right. So just delete them.
Well, I understand that.
What
but
are you doing?
That takes me time to go and delete them and reset everything.
What are you doing on a weekend where you can't just sit there on your phone and just start selecting or in your computer, however you want to do it? If you have Gmail, you can just select all and it'll be like select 71,000 conversations. Like, yup.
What if I delete something that's important? So then
that's why you select all and then you scroll through and you unclick the important ones, because there are going to be way fewer important ones than unimportant ones.
Well,
you could, dog, we could sit down. I could have that done for you in half an hour, if that.
It's a lot, so people can see I'm not lying.
Oh my God, it's going to make me vomit. 71,000. 1,000 unread emails.
71,000.
Unsubscribe.
It happens.
To something.
I don't know what it is. But, you know, like, it takes forever. And, like, I just don't. Every once in a while, like, every, like, 5 years, I'll go through and reset. I don't know what my largest total ever is, but that's a lot.
I'm stressing out right now because I have 25 unread emails.
Total. 25?
On two accounts.
Oh, no. No.
I'm probably going to figure this out right now and start deleting emails as we speak. Anyways, I'm not going to do all that.
71,000. Like, where do you even start, Kyle?
It stresses me out. I'm
not going to delete them all.
Yes. Select all and scroll through and uncheck the ones you don't need or the ones you do need. I'm going to. Dave Garcia in the chatty house said, careful around this psychopath. I'm gonna.
Yeah.
Like, if I was watching a Netflix true crime documentary and they were like, the guy who did it had more than 70,000 unread emails, I'd be like, tracks. Yeah. Yeah. They should have known. Anyways.
Yeah. See, sort by sender. I've done that.
That's a great call.
Like, you sort by sender, and then you just start deleting in mass. Like, I do that on occasion, and it takes forever.
So, wait, hang on. Katrina, in also in the chatty house, apparently has more unread emails than you.
What? That's right.
People just live like this?
That's right.
What's wrong with you people?
I don't have any unread messages. All my text messages.
That's great. There are people who I've listened to on podcasts who talk about how they have like 500 unread texts.
Oh, no.
Dog, that is nuts. And I understand if you're a famous person, who, especially if you're in media and you're getting hit up for media all the time, I imagine a lot of those just, you're like, yeah. When you see some number that's not saved in your phone and it's like, hey, this is Kyle with ESPN 1320 in Sacramento. You're like, yeah, I'm not reading that.
I'm not reading.
I get it. I get that. 71,000 unread emails is insane. Zabo said he's got 40,000. How do you I don't know how you exist. How do you not look at your phone and stress?
Oh, I don't even care.
I just, dude. Like I said, I've got this little 20. I have 28 notifications. I have a. What do you call, like, a group of apps together in a group called Productivity. So it's like my work-related things. And when my phone is on its home screen, it just says 28 in the top right corner because I have 4 notifications from one app, 1 from another, and 23 from my email.
Mm.
Those are going to get cleared up before I go home today.
Mm.
Because it just...
See, to me, that's psychotic. That's neurotic.
Digits.
That's like...
5 digits. Huh.
Facts.
Man.
Oh, man. Dave Garcia, you have 275 unread texts? Oh, wow.
I would like, you know what? No, I don't want to meddle because I'm just doing the normal thing.
No, I don't think it's normal.
I don't want to meddle for doing what people should be doing.
I don't think it's normal.
Jalen in the chatty house, 400 and counting on Outlook. Clear it out now.
It's a slippery slope, Jalen.
I was going to say.
You too could be at 71,000. Very soon.
That makes sense, man.
I think it's funny. Like, as we've been here, like, I will start amassing more emails.
I know.
Just saying.
I kind of want to see you get to 6 figures. Like, if you're going to commit to the bit, commit all the way.
Well, I mean, it probably won't take that long. I wonder what will happen. If it will just, like, the little red line will get wider.
Yeah, it probably...
I don't know if it can support that.
I wonder if it just says
100K. Yeah, because it's almost to the point where it's...
I wonder if it goes like
100K plus.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's
find
out.
Yeah, let's find out.
Hey, everybody start emailing James.
It's like the odometer on your car.
Yeah.
You broke 250, right?
I broke 260, bro.
260.
I'm cruising.
Oh, yeah.
I've got some significant repairs needed.
Oh, no.
So we'll see how much longer she lasts.
Got a little rattle in it.
Yeah, a little. No, not.
All right.
Not quite a rattle, but we're
amazing.
We're looking into it. We're looking into a different vehicle than what I currently have. All right.
All right.
916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That's the number that you can call to join the program. It's also the number of unread emails that James Hamm has. NBA playoffs tonight, Cavs at Celtics. We don't have that game on ESPN 1320. We do have Dallas and OKC, but let's talk about Cavs-Celtics for a second. Do you give the Cavs any chance in this series?
Yeah, I say Cavs in five because that's what this entire playoffs looks like. Like, we have no idea. Like,
we got nothing for you.
I would like to tell you that I know what's going to happen. I did not expect Denver to go down 2-0.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that at all.
Sure.
And I didn't expect Indiana to hang with the Knicks like they did. And very well could have won that game if it wasn't for some, you know, crazy calls down the stretch. So, I think we've got, like, a bunch of good teams left in the playoffs. And I kind of want to see how these games play out before I make any rash judgment. Because, the Celtics, how will they deal with adversity? Because we're watching how the Denver Nuggets deal with adversity, and they're folding up like a cheap tent. Like, it's just what is happening. Micah Malone losing his mind. Jamal Murray losing his mind.
Crazy.
You know, Nikola Jokic disappearing.
Yeah.
Like, what are we... We're watching, like, a team completely implode. What will happen if, for some reason, the Cavs come out and Donovan Mitchell gets hot and goes for 50 and Jared Allen comes back and plays and they're just like unstoppable?
I don't think they'd be unstoppable, but this is my one hang up because I don't believe in the Cavs. I don't.
Okay.
But it mostly because of how we saw the Magic put them in a meat grinder for seven games, particularly their offense. The Celtics are even more talented defensively than the Magic are. So that's going to be a problem for the Cavaliers, just finding buckets.
Yeah.
And that's why I think the Celtics are going to win the series probably in five games.
Oh, no, I think so too.
But on the other hand, everything you just said, the Celtics are not above a... Yes, sleepwalk through game one. Oh, down 0-1. Okay, respond in game two. It's tied up at a game apiece. All right, we got a handle on this series. Okay, now let's go to Indiana. We'll take care of it. Oh, got popped in the mouth in game three. Now it's 2-1. Hey, you won game three. You're up 2-1. Okay, we're cruising now. Oh, popped in the mouth in game four. Now we're tied up going back to Boston. Like, I would bet on the Celtics in five.
Yeah, I would too.
But if you came from the future and went, yeah, this thing was tied up at two apiece going back to Boston, be like, sure.
Why not?
Of course it was.
Why not?
Until the Celtics showed me something in that series against the Heat, where they won game one, the Heat got hot in game two from three, and they win that game. But then the Celtics came out and just really took care of business, did not give the Heat any life in the final three games of those series. That was great. Showed me something. Shout out to the Celtics. Now you got to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they come out, they're going to really set a tone. I think in the first half of this series, or the first half of tonight's game, if they go up 20 in the first half, I think it's a sign that they're going to sweep or win in five. But if they're sitting there at the half down or up four, then I'll have some concerns. They're just so substantially better than Cleveland. And I don't think Cleveland's that good. I don't think Cleveland probably should have gotten past Orlando.
Yeah.
Orlando just had never been there before.
Man, that's fair. That's fair. I would say, too, like the Cavs, once you get past Donovan, like everybody else is just struggling to like elevate their game to a point where you just feel that confidence in them. But they do still have one of the better players in that series. My problem with them, though, is that the Celtics can throw Jrue Holiday at them. They can throw Jaylen Brown.
Jason Tatum.
Yeah, they can. They have a whole lot of different looks that they can. Derek White. Derek White can lock him.
White's a tremendous defender.
Yeah, tremendous defender. And like their starting backcourt for the Cavs is basically their entire offense. And you have two of the best defenders, perimeter defending guards in the game.
And do you trust Darius Garland? I don't.
No, I don't. I don't.
I to put a team on his back and, oh, hey, Donovan Mitchell's getting locked up. Let me take this game. I just don't buy it.
Yeah.
So that's where, I mean, like, like we said, maybe the Celtics come out flat in a couple of these games and it's way more interesting than it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think they're going to roll these dudes. I don't think it's going to be close at all.
That makes sense.
Mavs at Oklahoma City, or Mavs at Thunder tonight, 6 o'clock. Coverage begins right here on ESPN 1320.
Paycom Center. That's what their name is now.
The Paycom Center.
I think the Paycom Arena, Paycom.
What's the Chesapeake Arena then?
Well, it was.
Oh.
It's okay. Now Paycom Center. It used to be the Chesapeake. It was way longer than that. It was ridiculous. It was like the, what was it, Talking Stick, whatever, whatever arena.
In Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also Gila River.
Now it just keeps changing. Yeah. Like all of them keep changing. I don't like the Vivint Home, whatever, Solar Arena. They've narrowed it down. It's smaller. I don't know. It's ridiculous.
The Mavericks are playing at the Thunder tonight. The Timberwolves series against the Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
Has that changed your mind at all? Because you were very wary about Oklahoma City going into this series against the Mavericks. Not that they couldn't win it, but you would lean Mavs because of playoff experience. Are you still leaning that way after seeing the way that the Timberwolves have gone in and played against Denver?
Maybe. I think it's a coin flip series. Like, I think, you know, again, one of them is a number one versus a number four.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love the Mavs, but the Mavs have the superstars. And, you know, in standard NBA, the superstars always get the calls.
Yeah.
And so I think it's going to be tough. But I like some of the defenders that they have to throw at, I'll scratch it. I like who they have to throw at Shea. Luka.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they have anyone that can defend Kyrie. And so that I think will be a problem.
Mm.
Like Josh Giddey cannot hang. I mean, we've seen what De'Aaron Fox does to that team.
Yeah.
And like Kyrie's going to dice them up. But
yeah.
I think Lu Dort is going to be a whole lot of fun. Jalen Williams against Luka. Like that's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
Even Shea.
Yeah, I'm just dramatically overestimating Oklahoma City's first round series. I thought they were going to have a tougher time than they did against the Pelicans.
Mm.
But granted, that was a shorthanded Pelicans team that didn't have Zion. So I get all that. But I look at the Mavs and I look at Luka and Kyrie. Okay, that's great. But after that, I don't know. I'm stuck.
Yeah?
Yeah, man. Because I loved the way Oklahoma City played in round one, but Luka and Kyrie are two of the three best players in the series, all due respect to Chet Holmgren.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, Chet Holmgren, what he can do defensively in terms of altering shots at the rim, in terms of blocking shots, maybe that eliminates some of what Kyrie is doing when he gets in the lane, when he gets in the paint. Maybe it's eliminating some of those lobs that they get to Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively. Maybe Chet Holmgren can swing the series in that way. But at the same time, I always say at the end of the day in a series, a lot of it comes down to who has the best player on the court. And on a night-in, night-out basis, that might just be the Mavs.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that they're going to have the best two players on the court on most games. I mean, I think Shea is like, he's going to do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean, I don't always feel like the way that he scores and stuff is like the most detrimental to your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Luka starts hitting like fall away, like 32 footers off one foot while somebody's fouling him.
Yeah.
Like those are devastating. When he, again, when Kyrie when he starts getting hot where nothing touches the rim.
Insane.
It is. It's like backbreaking. And I think when a player draws like 17 fouls, that's just not, you're like, okay, I guess we all get to take a breather here. Yeah. We're frustrated. We wish we didn't have all these fouls. But, you know, I'm not going to say he's like unstoppable. It's just we got to figure out how to not foul. And if the game is called like it has been, in the playoffs, and he's not going to foul grift his way to an extra 15 or 16 points.
Sure. It's time for the handoff. Damian Barling, D'Lo and KC coming up at noon. Are you a fan of how the postseason has been officiated in the NBA?
Is it that different than the way that the season was officiated at, like,
no,
since February? Like, so no.
I think it's great.
Like, I wasn't a fan of the mid-season switch. Like, it's great if you're Adam Silver or whoever, and you want to, or it doesn't sound like it was Adam Silver. It sounded like it was either other owners or coaches or players, mm-hmm, or maybe a collection. Maybe it was the media. Maybe it was Brian Windhorst. I don't know, but it was people complaining about the amount of points and things being too easy on the offense and too difficult for the defense. I think that's a tough thing to ask your entire league to adjust to in the middle of the season. Like, that's what, yeah, I'm sure you could, I bet there was an increase in technicals with people asking, like, hey, what the hell is, that's a foul. Well, you know, not, that was a foul in January. It's not at a foul in February. Like, yeah, that's tough. But that's always been the line about the playoffs. And even De'Aaron was talking about that last year. He said they let you get away with more in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, all right, I don't have a problem with it. I had a problem with it in February. Is if you're be consistent with it throughout the playoffs, figure out what you're going to do in the offseason. But yeah, I don't really have a problem with it.
Yeah, I was telling Kyle
there are
earlier,
far bigger other officiating problems than ticky-tack fouls.
Yeah, I was telling Kyle earlier, I feel like even the officials are struggling with it. Like, because we watched what happened last night where, again, I think the way that the action was so fast in that game, Michael Malone lost his cool. He lost his cool about the play before,
yeah,
when Karl Anthony Towns just absolutely ran over Jamal Murray. And, right, like, it was a blatant offensive foul. No question. He lowered his shoulder. He ran over a smaller player and went in for a basket.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, okay. And then the way Michael Malone, like, goes crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're watching it. It's like staring, like, the camera's right over the shoulder while Michael Malone is dropping F-bomb after F-bomb. He didn't even get a tech.
And Mark Davis lied to us.
He came all the way out onto the court.
Yeah.
Mark
Davis, the pool, and I'm so glad that you explained to us how the pool reporter thing works. Because it's fascinating. And for those that don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, there's one reporter who's allowed to ask. He's a designated reporter. And the questions are prepared in advance for the official.
It triggers. And then
right,
I'm given a question, mm-hmm, from another reporter, and I'm allowed one follow-up, but it has to be within the scope of the same exact thing.
And some, and I don't know who dictates this, if it's the official or whoever, but there was occasions, and I think last night was an occasion where they'll answer more than one follow-up. But last night, it was asked in that game, why didn't Michael Malone's trigger a technical foul? Why didn't that reaction trigger a technical foul? And I think it was Mark Davis. I think that's who it was. I could be wrong. He might not have been the chief official, but I feel like he was talking to Mark Davis. Michael Malone was talking to Mark Davis. And the official said, well, even though Coach Malone was really animated, he didn't say anything that would trigger a technical foul.
They had to
You can see on camera what he's saying.
They went to commercial because of it. He was saying, it was F.
Reading that pool report was wild. Like, if that doesn't trigger a technical foul, what does? Like, he got in your face like he was ready to fight. Yeah, that was wild.
He didn't say anything that rose to the level of meet the Grams, so we just kind of let him roll.
I guess not. Yeah, I guess not.
So there was, I'm just going to tell you guys this outwardly, and then we can move forward. There was an extra break added to our show that I did not notice. So I'm currently building this, so we're going to have to get out a little bit early.
Why was that?
I don't know.
Oh.
I've got to find out after. I thought maybe it was my mistake.
Bonus break.
But I did not, I didn't do anything wrong. So,
you know what we need? More commercials. Fine. No problem.
So that's what, so we're going to have to get out a little bit early here.
Okay.
James has 71,000 unread emails.
Oh, James, that's not, see, I couldn't handle that.
Insane.
Like I couldn't do that. I'm not one of those people. I don't like three unread emails. I just would rather go and delete it.
Yeah.
hey, respond to this to save your life. There's like 10 of these. Just delete, delete, delete. Get off. I don't care.
Respond to this many? No. I'll die then.
Just okay. It's gotten out of control. There's 40 in there. I got to get rid of them. I can't deal with that.
I'm at 25 right now.
I can't deal with the people who don't read their text messages either.
Well, I read those.
Like, you know, Dave Garcia said he's got like 280 unread texts.
I believe it.
That's nuts.
I believe it. Dave's a busy man. Well, but still, yeah, but it'd drive me crazy.
Just click on it then.
Yeah, or block the person. Like, do something.
Yeah.
Just living out there in space. Goodness gracious.
The Mavericks and Thunder play tonight. Coverage begins at 6 o'clock right here on ESPN 1320. Leading you into that, though, mm-hmm. D'Lo and Casey, what do you guys got coming up?
Trista Crick at 2 o'clock. Mm. Jason Jones at 3:20. Always really fun conversations with both of them, NBA-wise. Obviously, with Jason, we'll get his thoughts on Darvin Ham being fired and what's next for him. We'll talk all NBA. And then, of course, he's the culture writer at The Athletic, so I'm sure he has quite a bit to say about what happened this weekend, though he is a smidge bit of an impartial judge in all of this.
A little bit.
Yeah, his son's name's Kendrick, so we're just going to... We'll have to, you know, keep that in mind.
Oh, that's coming up next on D'Lo and KC right here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center. Blue.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.